I think the feedback that we're getting is pretty positive. I testified before a Senate subcommittee, and we had representatives from Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. from the emergency management side of all three components, and they were very complimentary of the policy that we put in place together as well as the representatives from the Senate.
My colleague Emily Kopp covered that hearing and reported that very thing, that Maryland, Virginia, D.C. Appreciated the interaction there. Talk about that a little bit, the communication before this policy came out.
Sure. Well, we began an interagency effort to look, and we do this every year. We take a lessons learned perspective look at our policies to see what might need some updating or tweaking. You know, as an example, following the Snowmageddon storms of 2009-2010, we implemented unscheduled telework. So this year, we had obviously some other incidents to look at, including earthquakes of this past August, and a big indicator was the January 26, 2010 snowstorm. So we had been engaged with our partners across the federal, state, and local spectrum in really looking at lessons learned and what changes need to be made. Primary venue for that was the Council of Governments. So we had this after-action review with approximately 20 different agencies to look at not only what changes OPM would need to make to our policies to improve the situation, but you know, what other implementations might be appropriate across the board.
A lot of people have said that this policy was driven, or the changes were driven primarily by the Snowmageddon incident. Is that fair to say? Is that when you started to think, well, okay, how do we take something away from this and reshape what we're going to do later this year or next year, which is where we are right now?
I think it's fair to say that the January 26th snowstorm was a catalyst for us taking a look at it.
And as you look back on that incident now and look at what you have, is it an appropriate time now to start to think of the possibilities that we'll get this summer? The information that you sent out about this said that the National Weather Service is already projecting a similar forecast for this year that we had last year, drier than normal, but a higher chance of the yucky stuff like we got in Snowmageddon, where it was kind of something nobody was really expecting. Is this a good time now to start thinking about the possibilities for later this year or next year's policy?
Well, I think it's a good time. You know, of course, we never know what events are going to come our direction, and obviously the earthquake itself is something that that we hadn't anticipated. So, you know, while we may have, we know, of course, every winter that there's a strong likelihood that we're going to get some level of wintry weather. You know, the one point that we want to emphasize is that the plan and the network and the framework that we've developed really is an all-hazards approach. So it's not just snow. You know, this framework that we've developed and then our decision process and the new tools that we've added to our toolkit can be used for any level of emergency, planned or unplanned, affecting the National Capital Region.
Now, we certainly consider ourselves here at Federal News Radio part of the network that's going to help you get this information out. But another element that is relatively new, just because social media is relatively new, is that social media. What are the components of that, and at what point in the notification process are you going to be using those tools to let people know what they need to know?
Yeah, as you mentioned, social media is a platform that we've used. It's one of multiple platforms that we use at OPM. We use both Facebook and Twitter to get the message out. When we make that decision, and typically it occurs late in the evening hours or early morning hours, the dissemination of the message occurs very rapidly, from us updating our OPM webpage to the call-in line that we have to making notifications to the media outlets. But one of the things that's been particularly positive about the social media aspects are that it gives the ability to get that message out to the public quickly, and they can share that message or retweet that official information, which is especially helpful if people aren't watching the news or aren't reading the website.
Recap for me, if you would please, the process that you as a team go through in trying to make these decisions, and maybe walk us through, I know there's no such thing as a typical storm, but walk us through as close to the SOP as you can and start, say, late in the evening when we're expecting something to happen the next morning.
Okay. Late in the evening, our protocols are that when the National Weather Forecast, National Weather Service forecasts an inch of snow or any amount of ice to affect the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, that kicks off our protocols to conduct a COG conference call. The predetermined times that we have those are at 3 a.m., which is to get the latest and greatest information right before the start of the workday. We may hold them earlier the night before, and that's one of our lessons learned coming from last year is where we can make that decision earlier the night before an event, we'll do so where we have strong confidence in the forecast. But walking through how we would do a 3 o'clock conference call, we kick off the call at 3 a.m. The Council of Governments sponsors the call. They're the one who sets it up. On that call, we typically have over 100 participants from a variety of federal, state, and local entities, from the National Weather Service, who will give us the forecast about what we're going to expect, how long it's going to last, how long the accumulation is going to be, when temperatures are going to rise above freezing. We'll have the Department of Transportation from Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. report on the status of their roads, from the major roads to secondary roads and even down to residentials. We'll have public transportation that will weigh in, WMATA, Metro, Metro Bus, VRE. They'll tell us about the status of bus transportation and rail service in the city. We also have reports from the emergency management agencies throughout the region, school districts, even law enforcement. That call usually takes 20 to 30 minutes for us to gather all of the appropriate situational awareness, gather feedback from those entities. At that point, we conclude the COG call. We get on a secondary conference call with OPM senior staff where we look at the historical decisions that we've made in the past for similar storms. We go ahead and make a decision at that point and then begin with the dissemination process that I mentioned before. Our goal is to get that decision out no later than 4 a.m. And again, there's a multitude of ways which we do that, from the social media that you mentioned before, to our web page, to our call-in line, to even Washington Area Warning Alert System broadcasts.
I appreciate that, because I think there is a misconception that this is just a decision that a couple of OPM people get together at about 4 o'clock in the morning and make this decision, and I knew that wasn't the case. So I appreciate you walking me through that process. When we have something like we had with Snowmageddon last year, how will that look in an afternoon time where you're looking at potentially early dismissal, or now with the new options that we've outlined on federalnewsradio.com from the release from you folks?
Well, if I could take last year's January 26th storm and play it back and walk through for you how we
sure.
might make changes with that. The first thing is that, you know, looking at the forecast that we had that night, we would go ahead and implement our unscheduled leave, unscheduled telework policy the night before the event, in which case that would certainly bring less people into the city. And we have bring less people into the city, and we have some encouraging news from employee viewpoint surveys recently conducted that shows that about 18% of federal respondents in the Washington, D.C. area indicated that they telework one day a week, but as many as 47% said that they have the capability to telework at least some of the time. So again, while that's you know, partial data that we're getting from volunteers from federal employees, it shows us that we're getting a considerable amount of telework capabilities moving forward, which is of course a goal. So we'd make that decision perhaps the night before to allow unscheduled leave, unscheduled telework, bring less people into the city. If the storm then advanced perhaps sooner than we had anticipated, and the National Weather Service came back to us and said, you know, we had anticipated that the storm was going to hit, you know, late evening, it's now coming mid-afternoon. At that point, we'd work again through our COG conference calls and through the feedback that we have with our stakeholders to look at the capability to do an early dismissal. And with that early dismissal, all of our early dismissals are staggered. In other words, employees are to leave, for instance, 2 hours earlier than what would be their normal departure time, recognizing that federal employees work varied schedules. But the new option this year would also allow us to put in an end time frame on that, or a final departure time. So our dismissal might say, we're recommending that you leave 2 hours early, but no later than 3 p.m., mm-hmm. at which time the federal government would be closed. Taking it even a step farther, if that storm, similar to January 26, which, I want to caveat as a very unique storm, we don't have many that come with that rapid snowfall in such a short time frame. If we had a very unique situation like that, where we continued to have discussions with our emergency management partners and law enforcement partners, and they said, gee, you know, it's really not safe out here on these roads right now. We need the capability to get our plows moving, to get salt down. Could you recommend that any remaining federal employees remain at the workplace on a temporary basis for a few hours so that we can allow that transportation infrastructure to get cleared? We would go ahead and implement that recommendation as well.
If I'm just a rank-and-file federal employee manager and have some people under me, and I know they're going to come and ask me questions when something like this happens, what should I know? Where should I go for information? Of course, OPM's website is one, but are there other sources that I should have at the ready to be able to consult to guide my people?
I think each federal agency has a chief human capital officer, and these new policies that we've developed have been vetted very carefully with them. One of the things that we've asked the chief human capital officers as well to push down to their supervisors and to their employees, again, another lesson learned from this past snowstorm, was that particularly during early dismissals, we need to make sure that the employee sitting at the cubicle desk understands that they have the freedom to act during an early dismissal situation by OPM. One of the things we found in the storm of January 26 was that many employees either weren't informed of the decision process or chose not to leave. And what we've worked through the chief human capital officer community to do is to make sure that employees understand that when the OPM announcement is made, they have the capability to leave. So that's one thing. I would say coordinate with your local chief human capital officers. But the second thing individual supervisors can do is make sure that they have those discussions with their employees now about telework and that they update their telework agreements and make sure that their agreements with the unions reflect that as well. We also ask that each federal agency designate who their emergency employees are well in advance of the season so that people know whether they're on the hook to come in, whether or not it snows.